This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
While LA's public transit system is much maligned in modern times, prior to the 1950s, as famously depicted in Robert Zemeckis' 1988 film Who Framed Roger Rabbit, the City of Angels had the largest trolley system in the world. But as a post-war housing boom led to suburban sprawl and increased personal ownership of the automobile, establishing a template for the car culture of Southern California and the bulk of the nation, the streetcars operated by Pacific Electric declined in ridership and eventually were dismantled altogether, which some conspiracists attribute to an intentional act of sabotage by car manufacturer General Motors. As Angelenos transitioned to atomized self-transportation in privately owned automobiles, the food and beverage industry adapted in numerous ways, paving giant parking lots, offering car hop service, and implementing a key innovation attributed to restaurateur Harry Snyder, the drive-through. In 1948, Snyder opened a quick-service restaurant in the LA neighborhood of Baldwin Park, serving a simple, streamlined menu of burgers, fries, and shakes, in time supplemented by a not-so-secret menu of customized options. Later that year, Snyder installed an outdoor two-way intercom system, letting drivers place their orders without exiting their vehicles, effectively birthing the drive-through, which let patrons get in and out in rapid succession. The technological advance was quickly copied by other eateries across the nation, but no one could quite replicate Snyder's chain's food, including their beloved signature hamburger sandwich, the Double Double. Today, with over 350 locations in the Golden State and across the American West, California food culture is as unthinkable without Snyder's chain as the fast food industry is without his drive-through. This week on Doughboys, we return to In-N-Out Burger. Welcome to Doughboys, the podcast about chain restaurants. I'm Nick Weiger, along with my co-host, Julian Edelman, the Spoon Man, Mike Mitchell.
It's just too much of a stretch. That's too much, Wags.
That was courtesy of Chris from KC. I know our guest is an NFL fan, so I figured I'd use an NFL-themed roast. Chris also wants to know, how does Mitch feel about the Patriots and the NFL at large this year?
I'm a little nervous with it starting back up. I hope that everyone is safe. Watching Hard Knocks, it seems like they're testing a lot, but I wish they did something like the NBA did.
Yeah. It seems like the bubble is working, which I'm glad, but I'm also surprised that they're able to keep it that airtight with the NBA. But it also just feels like at the other end of the spectrum, MLB just doesn't seem to be trying anything. And I don't know what NFL is doing exactly.
You said airtight. I just want to make sure you know it's not an actual bubble, right?
No, I understand.
Okay, all right, good.
No, it's not hermetically sealed. RoastSpoonMan@gmail.com if you have an insult you like me to use on Mitch at the top of the show.
All right, Nick. You know, there's some times where this is very embarrassing to do, but today is a big one. Howdy ho to Spoon Nation. Ugh, I can't look our guest in the eyes after doing that. And here is a... Here's a little drop, Nick. What goes on up in that ivory tower of yours?
A whole lot of jacking off. Yeah, you fucking with some voluminous wet dream. Bring a bucket and a mop for this voluminous wet dream. Everything you got. Voluminous wet dream. And I hope you hook us up with some swag, because we're whores, baby.
Yeah, we're
Doughboys
whores.
We worship the almighty dollar.
All right, Nick. Hey, Spoon Man, here's a drop for you. Hope you like it. Kristen, a.k.a. Chris from the Dough Scored. Thank you, Chris. That was great.
So you made a point of noting that you were particularly self-conscious about playing a drop in front of today's guest, and that's the one you chose.
I got you, Wags.
Mitch, we have a terrific guest today. Very excited to have him.
When I say we have a good guest in the past, I'm full of shit. Today it's a good guest.
He's an actor whose many credits include Parks and Recreation and 911 Lone Star. He also hosts the new podcast, Literally, with Rob Lowe. Rob Lowe is here. Hi, Rob.
I can't believe you guys have my ringtone playing. It's unbelievable. When I hear that, I just realize I got to leap out of bed and I'm late to go to the set. That's what that drop means to me.
Weiger's voice waking you up in the morning. That would get me out of bed too. Mine is When the Levee Breaks, which is a Led Zeppelin song I like.
Wow.
And now I don't really like the song anymore.
That's the problem. I had the guitar solo for Don't Stop Believin' for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And it shot you out of bed. But now, whenever I hear that song, I have that depressing feeling of, oh my God, I have to get up. So I don't like the song anymore.
Yeah. Wow. That 5 o'clock wake up.
Yeah, I just, like, for me, music, it doesn't work for me in the morning. I just need an abrasive, like, aggressive, just alarm sound. That's the only thing that'll rouse me.
Yeah, like, I spend a lot of time on like, when I'm bored and I'm on my phone, I'm actually not on TikTok or whatever. I'm like, hoping to find new alarm sounds. That's how boring my life is, but I take it very seriously. If you have any ideas about alarm sounds, people, please let me know somehow. Particularly if they're easy to access. I'm not going downloading some app to get them. No, I'm not. Like, is there like a way on my phone I can navigate something that sounds cool?
Rob, you just made a big mistake. There are insane fans will tweet thousands of alarm ideas at you.
Good. Well, I hope some of your insane fans come over and check out my podcast, because we're having so much fun and we talk a lot about food and stupid things, mostly stupid things. So I think they'll feel right at home. No offense.
You had Chris Pratt on. That was your first episode?
Yeah, I had Pratt on as my first one. He's one of my buds. And, I wanted to do a podcast because I love being a guest on them. Like, I started being a guest, and I come off of every podcast I'm on going, that's so fun. You can talk about whatever you want. No, you know, you don't have to plug anything. You can get weird. And then I started thinking about all of the people that I know and how they don't ever get a chance, really, to share that, because a lot of them haven't done podcasts. So yeah. I don't know if Pratt had ever done one, or if he had, not many. So, you know, I've had some good peeps on it, Gwyneth Paltrow and Demi Moore and Mike Myers. And, I think this week upcoming is Dana Carvey, who's
damn.
He might be the most funny person in the world. And that's saying something, because I'm lucky enough to have a lot of funny friends, but I'm having a blast, a true blast.
Wow.
Pretty amazing guest you got there, Rob. However, Doughboys, I think, has you beat. We've had Matt Kowalik and Bug Main.
Anybody with the name Bug is welcome on my show.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
You will open that can of worms, too.
Rob, before we started recording, you know, speaking of food, you mentioned that you were on, it's your fasting day. You take an entire day of fasting? That's what is your nutritional schedule?
Well, and by the way, it's perfect that we're doing this, because my whole thing is built on how much fast food can I consume on my cheat days. Like, that's...
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I do not... Life isn't worth living if I can't go to, you know, In-N-Out or Five Guys or, you know, Mickey D's. It's, you know... So I kind of got to build my regular life around the ability to do that. So, you know, I eat like, sort of what you would call like what they used to call in the old days, the Atkins way, you know?
Yes.
And so it's like an Atkins type, high protein, low carb, low sugar. And then Chris Pratt got me started on intermittent fasting, because he got so shredded. And so I've been doing that for at least a year and a half, if not two. And then recently I've upped it to actual 24-hour fasting.
Wow.
Every other day. But here's the thing. Once you're already intermittent fasting, mm-hmm. the move to 24 hours, really easy. You're only cutting out one meal. Because you know it sounds worse than it is. You're never going a day without eating.
Yeah,
you're never doing right. that. You're just like, today I'm just eating dinner. That's it.
Damn, yeah.
So your schedule, because I've done intermittent fasting before, and when I've done it, it's been like 16 hours fasting, 8-hour yep. meal window. So you yep. basically, you start your 20, you end an 8-hour window, and then you just like carry that through to the next day, pretty much?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's pretty easy, and it also, really what this whole thing is putting to lie the what we were told as kids. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Turns out, not so much.
And you know what? That pisses me off. I hate that. I hate that lie, Nick. They got to get rid of that lie in schools. They Let me talk to the kids.
But like, otherwise, I wouldn't have discovered Count Chocula. So
yeah, man, that was like Count Chocula. I can't believe that. I mentioned this on the show before, but I can't believe the cereals my parents let me have as a kid, because they were very restrictive about my diet in some ways, but other ways they were just like, yeah, you can have Cookie Crisp, you can have, you know, peanut butter Captain Crunch.
Oh, yes. But, oh, for sure.
Yeah. And I was just like, it was just like a huge, like sugar bomb, like first thing in the morning. But I mean, do you have any favorite cereals outside of the Count?
Yeah. Remember when Life cereal was good for you? Like Life was the OG, like, ooh, healthy. Oh, wow. Like, and we now know it's not so much, but so I still am partial to Life cereal, both regular and, cinnamon. Mm. And I have been known to hammer some cinnamon Life as if I were a potheaded Jerry Garcia, of which the great irony is I'm probably the only guy who's been sober for 30 years who will still want to pound Life cereal at 11 o'clock at night, but so be it. What is it? Cocoa Puffs.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Remains my all-time. Not Cocoa Krispies. I've never been down. That's the difference between Pepsi and Coke to me.
Wow.
Cocoa Krispies and Cocoa Puffs. You think they're the same. They're absolutely not the same. Cocoa Puffs is the shit.
You got Cocoa Pebbles sliding in there. It's like a Mr. Pibb.
Nope. Fruity Pebbles there. I'm going Fruity Pebbles.
Oh, Fruity Pebbles. Fruity Pebbles was one of mine when I was a kid. I stayed away from the Monster cereals. They kind of scared me a little bit, Wags. The Booberry
Count Chocula's your Booberry.
I was never a Booberry. Chadlow.
Frankenberry.
My younger brother Chadlow was a Booberry guy. Do you guys remember Quisp and Quake? Probably not. You're too young.
Yes. No, I remember Quisp. I remember seeing Quisp and never having Quisp. And I always thought Quisp was like more of was not a sweet cereal. But what was it exactly?
Quisp was, they were little flying saucers, as I remember.
Okay.
And they were they were more like a Captain Crunch. They were kind of a ripoff of Captain Crunch.
Got it.
And ooh, okay. I never understood what Quake was. I wasn't down with Quake. I think he was a handyman, right? And I was much more into being an astronaut than a handyman. So I was into space guy.
That's much more aspirational.
Was there a space cereal? I know there was a space ice cream.
No, there was never anything that was actually space.
Feels like a big market they missed out on. There should have been some sort of space ice cream.
You guys do know there's an ice cream chain. I don't know what the hell they are because I get it delivered. I don't know where you get it. That makes Lucky Charms ice cream.
Oh yeah, I don't know which specific one that is, but I've seen those kinds of cereal mix-ins at various places. Cool House is one of them that's done it.
Yeah, I used to be a total traditionalist. Like, get your cookie. I was very anti the Ben and Jerry's movement for a long time. I'm a very slow adapter to change, guys. I don't like change. And so when they started throwing shit in my ice cream, I was like, knocked down. And now, like, the more crazy shit in it, the better I like it. But it's only taken me a decade to get there.
Ben and Jerry, they're very Dr. Moreau-y. I mean, like they mix a lot of stuff that, and sometimes it doesn't, sometimes you get one that just doesn't work, I think, still, where
for
there's
sure.
too much going on. Yeah.
We've talked about it on the show before, but Ben and Jerry's one of the two. I always forget who it is, but either Ben or Jerry has anosmia, can't smell, so his sense of taste is very, very muted. So that's why all their ice creams have mix-ins, is because it was just like, oh, I want something cold with a lot of texture. Yeah. Mm.
I had no, that is the most amazing piece of trivia I've ever heard. I mean, I'm not sure that's good for the brand. Hey guys, so I'm making an ice cream. It's going to taste great. I myself have no taste. But what the hell?
So cool.
Rob, you know, when I did a cross country trip with my friend Scott Keefe, and it was a miserable experience, except for the fact we listened to your book on audio tape going cross country.
Wow.
Excellent.
For real. And the entire section where you talk about auditioning for God, now all I can think of, the Outsiders. I almost thought Rumblefish.
Yeah.
Outsiders. It just is an insane thing where you and all these other kind of these A-list actors are you go to a studio lot, correct?
Yes.
To audition for Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah, it was a moment where he was the biggest, most successful director of all time, like the most prestigious, like picture Steven Spielberg today on steroids. And that's who Coppola was. And this movie was like the movie if you were an actor from 15 to 25. So everybody in the world was there and we all auditioned at the same time. Like Francis would make us watch each other, which is unheard of. And you know, you'd go in at 9 o'clock in the morning and you'd come out at 9 o'clock at night and he'd make you read for different roles. I'd read for, you know, Pony Boy, and then I'd read for Soda Pop, and then they'd bring in, you know, Dennis Quaid, and he would read for Pony Boy, even though he's 20 years too old. And it was just, you know, insane.
So in that movie, there's a lot of good looking guys. You got cast as the cute one, like the cute one in the movie. You kind
of hunk among hunks.
You're the hunk. You're the king of the hunks. Does that make you feel pretty good amongst those other hunks?
Well, it did, but I also had the suspicion, and I've never really confirmed it. Someday I'm going to have to ask Francis if I ever see him, because now what the fuck? Who cares? He's old. I've done my thing. What do we care? But I kind of feel like he kind of held his nose and cast me because I was so pretty. I really do. Part of me feels like he's like, I'm not sure this fucking kid can act, but there's nobody prettier. That I do know. So yes, he's going to be Soda Pop Curtis. And you know, and everybody else was like an amazing actor, you know, in Francis's eyes. Like he couldn't get enough of like Matt Dillon and all these like New York type actors. And then he threw sort of, you know, Malibu Rob in there, you know.
Well, you're great in the movie, and also you have the coolest name, Soda Pop. I mean, how can you beat that name? You've been a great villain over the years. And one of my favorite movies of all time, Tommy Boy.
Thank you.
You play a real piece of shit, I guess I'll just come out and say it.
Yep. It's one of my favorite in my sort of like comedy villain phase of my career, which sort of was started probably with Wayne's World and then into Tommy Boy, and not so much in the Austin Powers movies, but that it's sort of in that moment of time in my career. The Tommy Boy villain is my favorite because he's kind of, I like how down market he is. Cause usually I was playing like rich dicks and I kind of like that he's kind of really down market. He's basically a grifter, you know, he's like just a hustler. And I kind of like that.
He's kind of a goofball too. It's great. And you worked with Farley's, one of our favorite Nick and I,
right?
But also one of the guys who have over the years, you just hear stories, food stories about him. The other guy is Pratt. I've heard food stories about Pratt too. But did you have any experiences going out to eat with Farley where you saw him order some good stuff or
Farley? It's funny. I do before COVID, I would do a one man show, which is basically it's me doing stand-up, basically, but I didn't have the guts to call it stand-up because I thought people were like, Rob loves doing stand-up. Blah, blah. So I called it a one-man show. And in the centerpiece of it is a story about Farley and taking him to dinner, sort of the first week of Tommy Boy. And so I take Farley and Spade and a couple other people from the crew to this really cool local steakhouse. Whenever I'm on location, I like to find local places that you're not going to get anywhere else. Like I can go to you know, Morton's Steakhouse anywhere. They're great.
Right.
And that's all good, but I love to find the locals. So we went to a place called Barbarians, which is a promising sounding title for a steakhouse. and Farley ordered two bone-in steaks, porterhouses.
And porterhouses. Wow.
Yeah, and proceeded to eat every one of them, both of them fully. And on each bite, every single bite, he put a cube of butter.
And, that is awesome.
Wow.
And I was looking at it so dumbfounded that I really didn't know what to say. And finally I was like, Chris, that is so gross. What are you doing? And he went, it needs a hat.
Oh, that's too good.
Wow. Yeah.
Man, a legend. I mean,
you can't make that up. No one's making that story up.
Right.
No, that's too good.
If you're ever out there having a steak and you're bored, give it a hat.
Yeah.
Give that bite of steak a hat. See how you like it.
I might add hats to my steak as well. That sounds great.
Hats? Yeah. Hey, pass me those hats. It's such a great thing for a bowl of iced cubes of butter. You got the hats over there, man?
That is a funny thing of like not melted, just still pretty hard.
That's the thing that was so insane. They were not melted in any capacity. They were the kind that you have to peel the top off of them.
Right.
Those kinds.
Individual, he was taking an individual one of those for each bite of steak. That's insane.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yes.
I was picturing like the Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, like where they have like a pat of butter sizzling on your steak. But no.
Ooh.
Wow.
No, it was it would have been like icing.
Which also sounds kind of good.
I know.
And so Pratt, I know that Pratt would take after take. I was on Parks and Rec. I appeared a few times. My name is Bjorn Lurpis.
Wait, are there other family? Were there other Lurpis?
There's a Lurpis family in Pawnee where we're all kind of, I guess, fucked up, you could say.
We were,
I think we rode in the same van. So you may not have met me. You may have smelled me at one point.
I smelled you. Exactly.
They put me in the back of the van for that reason. But I had heard that Pratt, just take after take, he would like, you know, as an actor, you're supposed to spit out food or pretend you're eating. But
he eats it all. Well, the king of that actually was Danny Glover. Danny Glover, who, by the way, he's much older than you think he is, and he's in great shape. I mean, he's like an Adonis.
Wow.
And so you would never suspect that Danny Glover will eat anything that isn't nailed down on a set, including like we did this big dinner sequence, and for you know, actors know this, but people watching don't really know. There's nothing worse than doing a dinner sequence. They take forever. You're there for 8 hours at a minimum, and you know, picture what your food looks like after 8 hours on your plate, and you begin to get an idea of what the food's like. Danny came in the second day and was eating the food.
Wow.
And then he was like, oh, with his amazing voice, there's some corn dogs over at the craft service. I had Keegan-Michael Key on my podcast, one of my favorite episodes I've done. And he and I were sharing stories of Danny Glover and how much he likes to eat on the set. But Pratt was up there, but he can't hold a candle to Danny.
Wow, Danny Glover, the king.
Yep. I'm surprised.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah. It's you get to see interesting things with actors and how they eat on sets. I remember one of my very first jobs as a professional actor. I was probably I was 14.
Wow.
And I got a job in a Carl's Jr. commercial.
Wow.
Wow.
And I was so excited to be able to eat hamburgers for free. That was how naive I was. and my entire, it was me and Regis Philbin.
Wow.
No way.
Yeah. That's awesome. And my entire thing was I would eat the burger, take a huge bite, look into the camera and say, I've got taste. That was the at Carl's Jr., you've got taste. That's what the at phrase was. And of course, after the first hour of eating hamburgers, it was so grossed out. And they give you a spit bucket. So you take a bite and then you spit it out, which I thought was so disgusting. But that was my that was the first time my illusions were shattered by show business, but it wasn't the last.
15 years later, it would quickly morph into like women on trampoline. It was a pretty quick metamorphosis because that seems pretty wholesome.
They completely changed their marketing.
You just know that ad agency. I want to be in the meeting with that new ad agency where they play the Rob Lowe Regis Philbin commercial and go, this is why you guys are struggling. Here's what we think you should do.
That's a wholesome. Was Regis in it, or was he playing like your father, or what was his role in it? Do you remember?
At that point, Regis was a semi nationally known, local newscaster. He was still in L.A. Okay. I think he was like the morning show of L.A. Like he was a big time L.A. celebrity, big time and kind of known nationally here and there, but he wasn't Regis that we all know and love yet.
Got it.
Oh wow. By the way, Danny Glover pulling a real Nick Weiger move, ordering up corn dogs on set.
Hey, man, I'll take down a corn dog. I'll take down an army of corn dogs.
I'm not a corn dog guy. Never got into it. Don't get Rob, it. There's certain foods that I don't get at all. Yeah. That's one of them, as it turns out.
Rob, I'm with you. Give me the hot dog in a bun. I don't need it, and I don't need all this corn around it, Nick. This fried corn.
I think there's a lot of variance in corn dogs. You can definitely get, the floor is pretty low. You can get some pretty bad corn dogs. But if you get one that's nice and crispy on the outside and has a good piece of meat inside, I mean, it's delightful. But I wanted to ask you, Rob. You seem incredulous. I wanted to ask you, Rob, speaking of fast food commercials, you played the KFC Colonel.
I mean, to me, as an actor, there are certain Hamlet.
Yes.
Comes to mind. If you get to play, I don't know, but I think there's Hamlet on one end of the spectrum and the KFC Colonel on the other. And I haven't played Hamlet yet, but I'm on my way. But it's funny, they called me like on a Thursday. I'm like, now, this is going to be a weird request, but have you seen Norm MacDonald, who I'm a huge Norm MacDonald fan? Have you seen Norm MacDonald as the KFC colonel? I go, yeah, he's hilarious. He goes, well, they're going to do a new version of it. And the person that was going to do it walked off the set. And you can do it on Monday. And so I knew I had him over a barrel of chicken. and so I named a crazy price. And they said yes. Oh, the other thing was, though, I said, well, tell me about the commercial. What is it going to be? And they go, you're going to be playing a presidential version of the colonel.
Wow.
Who's announcing a new space program. And they're actually going to send a Zinger chicken sandwich into space. And I was like, wait, I'm sending a sandwich to space? I'm in. I might do that for free. We actually sent a Zinger chicken sandwich into space.
Wow. You know, I never had dreams about being an astronaut like you did as a kid, but now I actually do have dreams about being an astronaut. I want to get up there and get that Zinger chicken sandwich, bring it home.
It's up there, and it's perfectly frozen. Danny Glover could eat it many years from now.
Did you ever have the Zinger?
Yeah, I'll tell you what I did have, and it's perfectly fine, but I'll tell you what I had that was up to the hype. Remember when people were killing people over that chicken sandwich?
Yes.
Popeyes?
Yeah. Yes.
People are like killing each other over it.
Yeah, crazy.
I might mass murder for it. I might. it was so good.
Yeah.
We loved it. We really, really, really liked it. It was great. And now it seems, I mean, I was thinking about this. I was thinking this same exact thing the other day. Now that it's calmed down, that's like, to think to be the person who killed someone over it, it's like now it's pretty readily available. You didn't have to go nuts over it.
Could have waited a few months.
He could have waited a few months. It's great. And you know what? I got to take advantage of Popeyes because I don't go there often, but that's up there. We love, Rob, we love the spicy chicken sandwich from Wendy's. We're big fans of the spicy chicken sandwich. on this pod.
Now you're into a whole thing that I'm very passionate about.
Okay, let's hear it.
I do not go to Wendy's for a chicken sandwich. It's not going to happen. I do not go to McDonald's for a burrito or a salad. It is not going to happen. There's certain things, like you, for me, I've got to stay somewhat on brand.
Rob, you and I thought we were best buds.
Throw down?
My blood is boiling. I'll be fine.
Tell me, describe to me such sandwich you speak of, sir.
The spicy chicken sandwich at Wendy's. Look, I had it when I was a kid first, and I love it. But for me, it's just the thickness of the patty is kind of just the perfect. It's juicy, but it's not too thin, but it's not too thick. You're not getting like kind of like this bad quality chicken sandwich that you get at other restaurants. And then it's really simple after that. Lettuce, tomato, and mayo. And the mayo is great. It's just the perfect amount. But just the spiciness of it, the spice level, Nick, I think you agree with me.
Yes.
It's not too hot.
Then I'm in because I'm all about spicy chicken. I'm going to try this. It's just hard. I've always liked their burgers. I remember growing up in Ohio when Wendy's came on the scene.
Yes. Ohio is the hometown, correct?
Home state.
Well, sorry, Weiger.
My grandfather, who actually did have a great business mind, you know, we all do have certain whiffs. My grandfather ran a diner for 50 years in Sydney, Ohio, called The Spot. And it's hamburgers, milkshakes, pies, tri-tip, breaded chicken, salad. It's insane. It's still there. It's literally a historical monument in Sydney. So I grew up around that. I would come up on the weekends and I'd have as many pies as I want. I would try the milkshakes. I still have dreams about it today.
Wow.
How great it was. So my grandpa knew Dave Thomas because they were all in that sort of we're selling hamburgers in Ohio thing, and asked my grandpa to invest in Wendy's. But my grandpa was like, I don't know if I can do it because I'm investing in Phyllis Diller's chili franchise.
No.
Wow.
Because I don't know about you, but when I think of Phyllis Diller, I want chili. And by the way, 90% of this people listening to this podcast don't know who Phyllis Diller even is or was.
Mm-hmm.
But so I missed out on my family missed out on the Wendy's thing big time.
Wow. I mean, Wendy's is really great. And by the way, the dream you described, if Nick and I had that dream, it would be considered a wet dream for Nick and I.
It would be like the drop you played for me.
It would be 100% like that drop.
I have dreams of because I would do it. I would walk into a full-length walk-in refrigerator, and all of the walls were lined with individual slices of various pies.
So you got to tell us what's your favorite pie. What's your number one pie?
That's hard. Well, there it was. What they were known for a thing called the old fashioned cream pie. Mm. That was their thing. They're known still are. So I love that. But you're not going to get that anywhere else. I'm a big fan of chocolate custard pies.
Mm. Ooh, love it.
The Apple Pan in LA makes a great one.
Oh yeah.
We're big Apple Pan fans here.
I'm huge, huge Apple Pan guy. Huge. I do not like their regular sauce relish. I wish they'd stop it. I've told them to not do it. When I go in there, I just have them put mayo on. I don't like their special sauce. But other than that, I'm a big Apple Pan guy. Banana cream pie, always great. A good pecan pie, always great. Cherry pie, always. I mean, I like any kind of pie because of how I grew up. I'm trying to think if there's any that I don't like. And the answer is there isn't. There isn't. Rhubarb.
I mean, rhubarb.
Mm.
But if it's strawberry and rhubarb, does that pass the test? Or
that gets it up there, but not as good as strawberry pie, which we also had, which is weird. I've never really seen much strawberry pie. Because you know what it is? It's like I like the really unhealthy part. Like the strawberries, I could do without them. But the sort of gelatinous, that looks like strawberry.
Yeah.
It's like, I love that stuff, man. But you know what else I love? You ready for this?
I love it.
Hostess fruit pies.
Wow.
Like if I go into a gas station, and by the way, it's better if they're at gas stations. I like, like if it smells like somebody's changing the oil inside, and I can buy a Hostess fruit pie that might even actually have some dust on the wrapper, I'll do that. I really will. I'll do that. By the way, I'm a spokesman for Atkins. I'm probably losing my sponsorship right now. They're like, this is over. But this is my id coming out. This is like the version of me. If I didn't take care of myself, if I didn't eat Atkins, if I didn't intermittent fast, if I didn't take care of myself, I would just be this fruit pie eating McDonald's going Ohio kid.
That's when you're saying, when like fruit pie, I was thinking back and I was like, sixth grade, you know, borderline obese to probably obese. Who am I kidding? And just eating those fruit pies in the morning.
And In the morning,
Nick. I know. The morning. Because if I went to school and I didn't have anything to eat, I would grab something like that felt like fruity, which, look, I know it was wrong, but that's what I would do.
So did you ever have the chocolate ones?
I have had the chocolate ones, yes, but I would stay away from those in the morning.
I love the chocolate ones.
Not a complete animal.
I love the chocolate. I actually like the, you mentioned the fruit pies, but actually the chocolate and the vanilla ones, and I'm a big vanilla advocate. Vanilla is a flavor.
Nick has this thing about vanilla. It's fine. It's just funny that you choose vanilla as your thing.
I'll get it.
Vanilla's good.
I 100% get it. I think vanilla ice cream with maybe some little tiny cubed out strawberries or just vanilla ice cream alone. I'll go for it. Here's the real thing is the old school Ohio vanilla ice cream with Hershey's syrup on it. Done. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. That used to be like, that was such and I'm from Southern California. I'm a lifelong SoCal surfer dude, but we had that was my go-to dessert for most of my childhood.
You can't lie to Rob Lowe that you're a SoCal surfer dude. He sees right through you.
I know. But I would have like a vanilla ice cream with Hershey's syrup. Yeah, I would have that all the time. And I don't have it in adulthood. It's just a thing I have a memory of.
Well, I'm not sure if the Hershey's syrup tastes as good in the plastic squeeze sanitary thing as it did when you had to use a can opener.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Remember the can opener?
Oh, yeah. Yep. My grandma, she had Hershey's in a can. That's the way she did it.
Yeah, Hershey's in a can with a, you just get that first little taste of rust. Oh, yes.
There is something to that where I do think, we've talked about it before, just ranking the ways that we like to drink Coca-Cola. And look, I'd rather have a Coca-Cola in a can than I'd rather have it in the one of the plastic bottles. But then almost everybody likes the glass bottles the most.
Yeah, and the glass bottles, they're not even close. I when I'm trying to cut sugar, which is all the time, the first place I cut is sodas because they're just the devil. But when I'm going to treat myself, I won't do it unless it's in a bottle or at a bare minimum a can.
I like it.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to Coke for me, a good fountain Coke is kind of my favorite.
Oh, wait, I need to take us on a detour because you said the word
please.
Fountain. Are you familiar with an egg cream?
Yes.
I am, and I've never had one.
Wait, okay, Nick. We went to Cantor's. Did you not try it when we went to Cantor's? I got one at Cantor's.
Oh, did I? I might have had a. Egg cream.
I think you had a drag of my egg cream. You freak.
I love a good egg cream, and they're almost extinct. In fact, there was a place in New York called the Gem Spa in Manhattan. It just closed. It made headlines. They sold magazines. Every magazine you could possibly imagine, they sold, which was great. And those, obviously, as magazines died, so did the Gem Spa. But for whatever reason, they had a fountain behind the counter, and they would make you an egg cream. They didn't sell anything else except that. And it was the most delicious. And you could have vanilla egg creams, which, by the way, I didn't love so much. But the chocolate egg creams, that for people who haven't had them, are insane. And I've tried to describe them to people because the name egg cream sounds like it might be kind of gross. But it's like a fizzy, thin consistency milkshake, basically.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they're so good.
I do think that naming on it, it keeps people away. Egg cream.
Right.
I think and look, people like eggs and they like creams. Just together it sounds weird, and I think it pushes people away from them. But they're fantastic. They remind me of, they're not the same thing, but I used to get a mocha ice cream float back in Boston, which is like kind of like soda water and then also a scoop of ice cream, and it kind of had the same consistency. But they're delicious.
Floats are also underrated. You don't hear many people talking about floats.
They don't happen as much anymore.
No, and I'm a big Coke float guy. I know people like root beer floats. Mm. And here's the other thing I've gotten into. So my son and I both, neither one of us drink, and we play a lot of golf. So at the turn, at the ninth hole, we go in and we get a Shirley Temple. And Shirley Temples are very underrated, and it's hilarious. Or as a grown man, I really enjoy saddling up to the bar with a bunch of dudes and going, Shirley Temple, please. It's so satisfying, and they're so good.
Now you're speaking our language, because I love raspberry lime Rickeys, one of my favorite drinks of all time. I love a raspberry lime Ricky, and Shirley Temple is fantastic. I love Shirley Temples. I don't get them as much anymore. You can do like an alcohol, like for me, if I'm at the bar, I'd sometimes order an alcohol version just because of what you're saying of like, I want that original sweet non-alcohol version. It's the best.
And a Roy Rogers. Oh, yeah. It's a Roy Rogers.
Yeah.
That's also actually, if I'm honest, I like that taste better, but it doesn't have the visual because it's just dark. It looks like a cherry Coke, which it basically is. But the Shirley, when done right, it's got those layers of clear and red, and it's so good. Yeah.
Now, Rob, you mentioned your son. You do a show called the Lo-Files.
Yeah, sure.
And so Nick knows this. I'm afraid of ghosts. I'm a believer in ghosts. Nick makes fun of me for it. He kind of torches me over the fact. I mean, it's a sad story for me. He torches me over the fact that I'm afraid of ghosts, even though I've had experiences, Nick, which I've told you.
Look, I understand. In theory, ghosts are very scary, but I just don't think they exist.
I believe in ghosts, and I believe in
it's
the devil.
Possible.
The scariest thing of all.
Yeah,
but. Did you experience anything crazy during the Lo-Files? Yeah.
Oh, 100%. The thing about the Lo-Files, which I think exists now only on sort of iTunes, I think, and you can YouTube it. We did one season of it, and it was the most fun I ever had. It was kind of like Anthony Bourdain, Parts Unknown, if you put that into a blender with Scooby-Doo. And the very first episode we did was at a haunted, closed down boys reformatory.
Wow!
And we would hear the little kids laughing. And
haunted by Nick Weiger, by the way.
All right.
it was at one point there was this big sort of deflated, heavy ball that moved on its own.
Wow.
We had lights coming off and on. We had some really weird, and then they have these weird, and I don't know if they're full of shit or not, but there are these devices that are meant to, you know, you could talk to the ghosts of them. And I would say things like, if you're here, turn it on now or whatever. And I'm like, beep. And I'm like, ah. So, I mean, you know.
when you were in those situations, were you legitimately like, terrified, or were you kind of like, I want to see something? Because I think I would be scared. I would, like, if there was a blanket, I'd hide under the blanket.
I was the perfect mix of scared and want to see it. I had one moment in the show where I was absolutely terrified, where we were in Arkansas, in the mountains of Arkansas, Oklahoma border, looking for what they call there the wood ape, which is basically their version of Bigfoot. And we had been hearing rustling and things moving around in the woods, and I've been hearing like gorilla chest pounding stuff.
Wow.
And then my son Matthew had the thermal binoculars and could see something hiding behind a tree and moving back and forth. because, you know, the Native Americans called them tree watchers. So this is all going on, and then we see lights coming through the woods, and we're 250 miles from any civilization, and these guys are with us are trying to tell me that the lights are the eye shine, like a dog at night, of the wood ape, and we were all armed, and they were like locked and loaded, and I was like and I hit the ground. I was lying on the ground so scared, and turns out the lights were a bunch of, there are a bunch of people driving through the woods. There's a thing where people take unrouted roads off of maps. It's a whole thing. I forget what it's called. And they go off-roading, exploring across the country. And that's what these people were doing. And they were lost in the middle of nowhere. But I thought the wood ape was coming for sure.
Wow.
This mission was to like take out the wood ape?
Their philosophy is in this day and age, anybody can fake any picture or video. So the only way to protect it, unfortunately, would be to kill it.
Oh my God.
Wow. That's their, because there's not just one of them is the theory. Right. There's multiples of them. So that's the theory. That's their theory.
Now, Rob, did you think that it would take to all the way to today to meet me, the wood ape, finally?
We'll be back with more Doughboys.
Oh boy, Mitch. Mother's Day's coming up. You got sweaters, candles, the dreaded bathrobe. Mm. Unfortunately, Mother's Day gifts can be a little predictable and boring. That's why an Aura frame is the perfect gift to mix things up this year. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
Dreaded bathrobe covering mom up? Ugh.
Get that sweater off of you. Too many layers.
Wags, that's right. You know what? I'm guilty. I've given my mom too many of these boring gifts.
Yes.
Some sweaters, some candles, some dreaded bathrobes.
I've accidentally given my mom the same gift twice.
Wow.
It's really embarrassing. Or you end up getting like, oh, I guess I'll give you a gift card. I don't, you know, like it doesn't feel like there's any love behind that.
Well, guess what, Wags? I've also gifted my mom an Aura frame. That's right.
Wow.
This is the truth. Aura frames are Wi-Fi connected and come with unlimited storage, so you can share as many photos as you want from your phone to mom's frame.
Not only will she be grateful it's not another sweater, she'll also love that an Aura frame means she gets to see more of you.
That's right. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's Aura, A-U-R-A, frames.com. Use code Doughboys at checkout to save. And you know what, Wags? My mom liked her Aura frame so much. Is this true? She got my sister one, and now my sister's got one in her dining room.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Terms and conditions apply. Send photos you want from your phone to mom's frame. In fact, Mitch, I'm going to send your mom a photo right now.
The hell?
Enjoy, Mrs. Mitchell.
I love you, Mommy.
I love you, Mommy.
You're talking to your mom, right?
Yeah. Mitch, listeners, did you know learning actually makes a sound? It's true. Listen to this. That's the sound of you learning a new language with Babbel.
Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking new language in as little as 3 weeks. And Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations.
Wow. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world.
Mitch, you know what I love about Babbel is the courses are convenient. They help me learn real-life conversation skills in my chosen language, Spanish. Makes it easier to order food, ask for directions, speak to people here in Los Angeles without having to consult language apps while you're on the go.
Well, Wags, studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
And you don't want to go anywhere near a college campus these days with all those protests.
No thanks.
Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold, plus all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee.
Wags, and all those protesters out there,
Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at Babbel.com/Doughboys.
Get up to 60% off at Babbel.com/Doughboys, spelled Babbel.com/Doughboys. Rules and restrictions may apply. Hey, Mitch. I feel like during the summer, pretty much everything I'm doing outdoors is making me thirsty.
Yeah, I'll tell you what the issue is. That blasted sun.
Curse the sun.
Curse the sun.
Giver of life, but also...
giver of heat.
Giver of a dehydrator in chief, I'd call it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Summer requires extraordinary hydration because of the sun, you know, that's like built for everyday dehydrating moments. Yes.
The moon is cool.
Moon's real cool. When the moon is out, there's never a doubt. The moon is cool.
And when the sun's up high, you can't deny it's gonna be hot, hot. Hot, 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 hot. Anyways, I think that we've expressed that the sun gets you hot in the summertime.
And the moon keeps you cool. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick, it's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America.
Wags, that's right. And you know what? It's so easy to just tear open a packet of Liquid IV, pour it into a cup, mix it up with some ice cold water, and drink it down. My favorite flavor, strawberry.
It's a hydration multiplier.
That's right.
Gets you even more hydrated, and it's easier to stay hydrated while traveling. And you know what, Mitch? We like the taste.
I love the taste. And you know what? I love that I'm getting all those electrolytes, and I'm not getting filled up with sugars.
Yeah. I love the smell, too, and it helps you out, not just while traveling, but after a big night out. You know what I mean.
Come on.
The moon is cool.
Cool. The moon is cool.
Cool. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick plus 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone.
And Wise, it's got 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, 8 vitamins and nutrients, non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, and now sugar-free. We got white peach.
Wow.
Green grape.
Wow. Raspberry melon. And lemon lime.
That's right, Wags. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Doughboys at checkout.
That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Doughboys at liquidiv.com.
I love Liquid IV. You know why?
Why?
Because it's cool. Cool.
And the sun is hot,
hot, hot.
Welcome back to Doughboys. We are here with Rob Lowe, this week's chain In-N-Out Burger. And I want to talk In-N-Out with you, Rob, but before we get into that, you had some other burgers you brought up earlier on the show, and then another burger chain that was mentioned before we were recording. But let's start with In-N-Out and the other ones you mentioned, Five Guys and McDonald's. Yes. Is that kind of your trinity of your holy trinity, your triforce of burger chains?
It is, and I live in California, and there's a new place called Mesa Burger that just opened. And I got to tell you, Mesa Burger is up there. It's pretty good. But in the sort of hierarchy of burgers, look, I'm a Midwestern guy. I don't want them to get too fancy, right?
Yeah, right.
And Mesa Burger for me is the perfect, like, that's as fancy as I want it. I don't want it any more fancy. It's great because I also love the down and dirty Mickey D's. I mean, I'm a huge proponent. In fact, I have a McDonald's gold card. And
I'm
told that the only person other than me who was ever given one was Bill Gates.
Wow, Bill Gates is a McDonald's guy.
I don't think he is any. My guess is he's not anymore. But I also remember reading an early article about Bruce Springsteen when he was on the road and a Jersey guy, and the only place he would go was McDonald's. So I follow my heroes, Bill Gates, Bruce Springsteen. I'm a quarter pounder with cheese guy, large fry, Coke. And then I've rediscovered the fish fillet. I don't think it's fish. I'm not under any illusions. I don't know what it is, but I think a little fish fillet on the side is pretty genius. And then And see, I can go a long time on this stuff. In-N-Out.
Yeah. Yes.
The mustard fry.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm a big mustard fry. And because in all seriousness, you'd never know it from how I've been speaking on this podcast, I actually do eat really well. And so when I cheat at In-N-Out, I get it protein style. So you get the lettuce wrap, protein style, mustard fry, double with cheese, raw onion. That's my jam. That's my jam.
That's a good order right there.
Yeah.
So these are kind of the some of the secret menu modifications, which people are, I think even if you've never been in and out, you're aware of the existence of the secret menu.
Hey, Nick.
Yes.
Can I just quickly say, hey, Rob, you might as well just start boarding up your windows and doors now after mentioning to our listeners that you have a McDonald's gold card. They're going to attack your house like Night of the Living Dead. You're
going to be hunted like the wood ape. Yes. So but the quarter pounder with cheese, do you ever mess with that double quarter pounder with cheese?
Yeah, I do. I've had it. It's really good. In McDonald's, yeah.
Yes, McDonald's, yeah.
Yeah, I like it, but there's something about the traditional – I like it. I can't decide. I'm a little ambivalent about it. And I don't know why.
We did a McDonald's tournament earlier this year, and it was like a tough decision trying to figure. I think we ended up leaning double quarter pounder with cheese just because of the proportions. But yes, the traditionalist in you is like, the quarter pounder, that's the original.
Nick, a lot of the Quincy guys were saying that they like just the single quarter pounder. I got a bigger question, Rob. Thoughts about the Big Mac? Are you a Big Mac fan? How do you feel about it?
I started as a Big Mac fan, and then I read when I was probably 15 or 16 that Bruce Springsteen's favorite thing was the quarter pounder, which I'd never tried.
Wow.
And I moved to the quarter pounder and never really looked back. I love the Big Mac, but let's face it, it's McDonald's.
Yeah.
Not the most healthy. And they're shoving at you another layer of dough.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yes, I do love it. When I was a kid, that was my jam. I've fooled myself into thinking that the quarter pounder is so much healthier.
Well, you can't argue with the boss. Who's going to argue with the boss? If he likes a quarter pounder, yeah, doesn't make any sense.
No.
If you go protein style In-N-Out burger, so if you're not familiar with In-N-Out, that means you're getting lettuce wrapped instead of a bun. Do you do that at all with your other chains, with your Five Guys or your McDonald's? Or are you still eating the carbs?
No, because I'm not sure that they do it or offer it. I don't think McDonald's does. And also, again, there's something about McDonald's. It's McDonald's. You've committed. You're there.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is not a place you attempt to be. Like, I'm not doing their salads. Not happening. They should stop. It's not. I'm not going to McDonald's. I want to. My fantasy, guys, honestly, and I have a friend who owns like 10 McDonald's restaurants in my area, and whose father invented Ronald McDonald.
Wow.
And whose father invented the Egg McMuffin.
Oh, wow. Wait, you said invented Ronald McDonald? He's not real.
So I always talk to him about, I would love to be on the board of McDonald's, because I'd be like, we're stopping with this damn salad crap. And we're doubling down on what we are. We're Mick fucking Donald's, and we are going to be McDonald's. So I don't do lettuce healthy stuff there. The other thing is I don't do French fries everywhere, because that's another way you can kind of try to be healthier. McDonald's always French fries. In-N-Out, I'm a little ambivalent about those fries. Here's what I don't like there is, why, when you get it to go, do they cover everything with 5,000 napkins?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
So when you're trying to get to your food, A, you can't.
Yeah.
And B, it's created like an infection layer where all that insane heat, because the good news is it's all really fresh.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's so hot, you've covered it and now everything's soggy.
It way sogs
too
it up.
Quickly. I don't get it.
Putting a wet sock in there, Nick. It doesn't make any sense. This is Nick's favorite fast food restaurant, so he has to answer for a lot of this stuff.
I'm a huge In-N-Out fan. I completely understand ambivalence towards their fries. I even get someone saying they dislike their fries. The fries are their own thing. And I don't think they're the reason to go to In-N-Out Burger. I like them because I grew up with them and that I have a nostalgic connection to them, but I understand their deficiencies. Yeah, and part of it is they serve you the fries in like an open basket. And that it's not like a sleeve like a lot of other chains or an enclosed container. So then they're laying those napkins on top of them and they just get damp and greasy. But I want to ask, so you don't normally get fries. Do you ever go with these sweet treats there? You ever get yourself a shake?
I do. And I like their shakes actually a lot. I like them a lot. And I'm trying, cause like, I've literally been eating this sort of Atkins way now for years and years. And it started when I probably in my mid 30s, when I had that moment where I see where this could go if I don't get my shit together.
Yeah.
So I try to, like, here's the
Mitch,
thing.
You and I should have that moment pretty soon.
Probably 5 years ago.
Yeah.
When I have discipline, I use it. Because when I don't have it, I don't have it, and I lean into it. So there are times when I pull up to In-N-Out where I'm not feeling the discipline, and it's like I'm having the burger, I'm having the shake, and I'm having the fries. There are other times where I'm like, you know what? I think I can get away with just having water and protein style and no fries. I think I can do it and be happy. And I got to go to In-N-Out.
When I was eating keto, when I wasn't eating any carbs, In-N-Out Burger was by far like the best treat. And this goes to saying, like, with McDonald's, Nick, it's like that sort of thing of, if you go no bun at McDonald's, the quality of the patty, you need all the fixings. You need the fixings with McDonald's. That In-N-Out patty in a lettuce wrap is just
great.
Fantastic. It's amazing.
Great. Yep.
Do you guys ever go all the way and do the Flying Dutchman, which is just meat and cheese?
Wow.
Wait, what is this? Wait, what? What is a Flying Dutchman?
This is one of their secret menu items. It's like the step beyond protein style, where there's no lettuce wrap, there's no veggies at all, there's no spread even. It's just meat and cheese in one of their cartons.
Wow.
And it is it's very heavy. It's a lot. But if you really, really want absolutely zero carbs, it's one option at In-N-Out.
Wow.
I'm going tomorrow to do that. Tomorrow. Wow. I'm not kidding. I'm doing a Flying Dutchman at the In-N-Out in Goleta, California.
Wow.
Tomorrow before my round of golf. It's on.
I love it.
You probably shouldn't announce that to our audience, but this podcast isn't live, so.
Yeah, it's not live. You're safe.
No one's going to try to do a meet and greet.
Meat spelled M-E-A-T. I just want to make that clear.
Yes. Yeah.
Mitch, what did you get in your most recent In-N-Out trip? Because I know you got a lot of food.
Yeah, I went last night, and I got. Look, I've said this, Rob. I've said this to Weiger before. That I like In-N-Out a lot, but when you get the wet lettuce inside the burger and the tomato, like it can just be kind of like a wet, soggy burger. So last night I went trying to figure this out, and I went a little overboard. I got myself a 3x3 animal style, and I added onions, which is Armin style. Our friend Armin goes animal style, and then he adds raw onions as well. So I'm on a 3x3 animal style, added raw onions, and then I also got a double animal style minus lettuce and minus tomato. So I had five burger patties here altogether.
Wow,
which was a lot. It was a lot. And
did you order a hat for anything?
I did not put a hat on any of these, though I do want to try that at some point. Yeah. I also my order goes on. Don't think less of me, Rob. I got I got a fry well done, but then I also got an animal fry. So I got two orders of fries. Look, this is for the podcast. This is important. I got a large
I'm doing research.
I got a large pink lemonade, and then for the first time for myself, Nick, I think that I've ever ordered it here, I got myself a regular vanilla shake, half chocolate shake. I went half and half. I went chocolate and vanilla, and I'll get to that in a moment. I also got some ketchup packets, a couple packets of the spread, and some chilies. They offer the chilies, which people overlook.
Yes.
And I'll say this. We hadn't been in a very long time, and I was really, really, really excited to go last night. And I think that is a good sign with any restaurant.
Yeah.
And man, those burgers, were fantastic, Nick. What can I say? They were great. The burgers were great. The 3x3 did kind of solve that problem of the lettuce and tomato overshadowing the burger. And I liked the no lettuce and tomato on the double double, but it just didn't feel the same. You know what I mean? I still want that lettuce and tomato. So for me, that 3x3 is maybe so the area where I land for it.
Is a 3x3 the same as the Flying Dutchman, or is that something different?
The 3x3 it's a double double with an extra patty. So there's the bun and everything else.
Extra patty, extra cheese. You can go up to 4x4. That's the most they'll do.
Nick, the 3x3 is great. I never done it before ever. Of course, it's just more beef, but it's not overwhelming. You know what I mean? Like, it's not too much beef. Like, it's probably closer to the double quarter pounder range. You know what I mean? Than because those burgers are In-N-Out burgers are not huge either.
Yes,
the patties are kind of small. The fries.
Guys, you're ruining my fast day. I don't know if I can get through it. I'm seriously fantasizing right now about getting in my car when I'm done with this, and just so I can roll up and be like, I like a Flying Dutchman and a 3x3, and just see if they even know what the hell I'm talking about.
Although the crazy thing there is that they while ordering this stuff, I was just because I got the one order fries well done. And the 3x3 and no tomato, and I was like, this is kind of annoying order. And the woman who took my order
they took it in stride.
Yeah, she was an ace. It was not even an issue. I said the order to her, she repeated it back to me perfectly. The fries are not great. I think well done does help out, but they do turn to almost like what are potato sticks? Remember that old snack that are kind of like
totally. Yes. They do. They're
like, and then when you get them home, I just agree with you, Rob, that it's that sort of thing of, I don't know if the fries have ever traveled well. They put the napkins on top to try to slow it down, but unless you're eating the fries there, I never think that you have great In-N-Out fries. Yeah,
I think they need like the Army Corps of Engineers to come in and just help with. There's a way to engineer fry travel. Yes. If we can send a man to space, we can send a fry home.
If we can send a chicken sandwich, if we can send KFC chicken sandwich to space.
Come on.
There is one solution to the fries traveling issue, and that's what I do, which is just have no self-control and just eat immediately in your car. Because that's why I went to the Sunset Boulevard location, and which is a very high trafficked In-N-Out burger location.
I think you're a fucking madman for going there, by the way. I thought about it, and I went up. I went to the one on Cahuenga in North Hollywood instead. I went there. The Sunset Boulevard one is insane.
It's a madhouse, but they are so good. The workers there are so good. The system they've got is so ironed out, where they've got multiple people with tablets taking your order and relaying them to the kitchen. And so it's like it's very well regimented, and that line was long, but it just kept moving. You know, it was like a Disney queue. It was just like, okay, this is they've got this line management figured out. Here's my approach, because I've had In-N-Out many, many times. Mitch, you said we haven't been there in a while. I went last week. Like, this is like a frequent place for me. I love In-N-Out Burger. It's my favorite chain, as we mentioned, one of my favorite chains. So I was like, I'm not going to do any modifications. I'm not going to do any secret menu stuff. I'm going back to basics. I did a double-double, just as it comes, with onions. I did fries, and I did a 7-Up, and I did a strawberry shake. And that's it. I just kept it very, very simple. Everything was great. Here's the only thing I'll say is the only negative is I don't love the strawberry flavor in their strawberry shake. I think it's a little too artificial. I think their vanilla and chocolate are the way to go. Especially too, because you get those really salted fries, and sometimes it's nice to dip that in the shake a little bit. You get that sweet and salty sensation. Doesn't work as well with the strawberry. Works so much better with the vanilla. But the double double was just so well made, so well assembled. I feel like that it's just so consistent. The fries, I feel like, are there's a lot of variance, and a lot of times they're really crappy. They were just like right down the middle this time. But the double double, I feel like, is always just like on the same level. I feel like that burger always delivers.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys? Somebody pointed this out to me. Have you ever looked under the cups?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. There's some interesting Bible verses under there.
We like them. We're We're a Christian podcast.
No, I'm down to, I, first of all, my eyesight is so bad. If you told me, I can't tell what it is.
Right.
But I saw the writing. I think that's such a cool, weird little tidbit that I sure the hell didn't know about.
Yeah. It's very interesting, and there's some strange ones under their wags. Have you seen?
You mean
some
which
of these
specific verses they're citing?
Yes,
because there's different ones under. I think the water cup, the shake cup, the drink cup, and it might just be that. I think there might be one on the fries as well. Could be wrong.
Under my shake cup last night, it was "Thou shall not jack it" on a Sunday.
Wow,
I just thought that was intense.
Thou shalt not place a hat on this slab of meat.
speaking of shakes and the shakeup, Nick, you probably think that Spoon Man by the Night is going to be the 3x3.
Yes.
But it was fantastic. That's the bite of the night. But I got a sip of the night. What is it better than sip of the night? You got to help me out here, Wagger.
Let's see.
Sip of the
century.
Sip of the century. There we go. The sip of the century. This might be the sip of the century, Rob. Thank you.
You bet.
This chocolate and vanilla shake was so damn good. That mix was fantastic. I never done it.
Yeah.
In and out. I tried the Neapolitan. Rob, have you done the Neapolitan shake ever?
Yeah.
I'm with Nick though. I think the strawberry kind of complicates things a little bit.
It's a kapotchka. It's too much.
The chocolate and vanilla shake was so damn good. It was I loved it. And it's going to be a go-to for me.
That swirl's a lot of fun. And Rob, you mentioned floats earlier. You can get floats in In-N-Out Burger, is my understanding.
Wow. Really?
At least you can get a root beer float. Yeah, I've seen that on the secret menu. I've never deigned to try it myself.
Wow.
But it might be worth attempting.
Well, I think the die is cast now at this point. A man only has every man with enough torture will crack and give the interrogators what they want. At this point, I'm ready to go to In-N-Out. I'm ready to go. I think it's probably going to happen today.
Wow. I like that we're the big fat sweaty interrogators for you in this scenario.
That's right.
Well, we should get to our final thoughts on In-N-Out Burger. Mm-hmm. So, Rob, here's how this will work. We'll each go around, give like a summation of our feelings on this particular chain, a closing argument, if you will, and then end by giving it a fork score from 0 to 5 forks.
Kelly, let me just ask you a question. I need to know, like grade inflation, you know, that thing that they have. How many 5 scores have been given out?
Great question. Not a lot.
Not a ton, but we have. I'll say this: when we've reviewed In-N-Out before, I think it did get a perfect 5 at one point, right?
Yeah, for me, In-N-Out Burger is a 5 fork chain. Other ones in the 5 fork range are places like your Hillstones, your Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles, you know, really beloved chains.
Yes.
I feel like a Wendy's, you know, we love Wendy's. So Wendy's has been in the 5 fork tier, Taco Bell in the 5 fork tier. You know, that's the kind of company that
got
is
it.
In the elites.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. I so got it. I'm so okay. ready. I am ready for this.
All right. Rob, go ahead. Your thoughts, your fork score.
First of all, it's a legendary franchise. So it has a history behind it. It's famous for coming from a certain area and time, which I like. I don't like these franchises where they have no identity. I don't know who came up with them or where they came from. I like knowing this is SoCal, you know, old school Beach Boys. That's what I think of when I think of In-N-Out. The burger is arguably the best burger in the world. I mean, you can think of things that might be its equal, but you're not going to think of any. Like, I love Five Guys. I really do.
Yeah.
It's a different burger. It's not better than In-N-Out. There's no way it's better. And the secret menu thing is absolutely the greatest thing on the planet. Mm. It's the coolest.
It's fun.
It's fun. It's cool. And by the way, it's great. I mean, when I discovered the mustard fry, I didn't even understand what it would be like. And now I can't not have it. I love, they have just enough locations, I think. So when you see one, you're really excited, and they're usually quasi convenient. So I really love that. And I love the idiosyncrasies of these weird under the cup thing. I've got, that's the craziest, weirdest. I just kind of like it. What else? They need to engineer how they give you your to-go stuff with so many. First of all, it feels like it can't be ecologically healthy. No one needs 7 thick inches worth of napkins in every to-go order. So there's that. That would be a ding. I would love to see the napkins put in the bag that contains the drinks.
Yeah.
So there's no convection layer ruining my fries, which or the burger, frankly, which if I have an issue with it, is that it's the wettest burger in the planet for some reason. And I don't know if that's because of.
Agreed.
It's like it has ruined more outfits on the way to the airport.
Yeah.
Than any other. Like that doesn't happen at McDonald's.
Mm-mm.
Doesn't happen anywhere. It happens at In-N-Out. So that, and then the other ding is, I love the look and the whole feel of that sort of 1950s wrapped paper thing. It's sort of like the Apple Pan does that. And I love that. And, you know, obviously McDonald's puts it in some styrofoam thing that, you know, is just giving you cancer just by looking at it. But the thing is, it's hard to peel it away from the burger. And that usually begins the process of you getting soaked. So yeah, I just think they've got some engineering issues that they need to work through. But that said, it's legendary. Everybody compares everything to it. It's the standard. People will argue about it. How does it compare to In-N-Out? No other chain is mentioned as consistently with that. So I got to give it a 5 forks.
Wow.
Wow.
5 forks from Rob Lowe.
Wow.
Spoon Man, go ahead.
Irma jumped up. She wanted to hear this, I guess. jumped into my lap. Wags, I like In-N-Out a lot. I've tried to give it a hard time because it's fun, because you love it.
Yes.
Rob brought up some great points. It is it's one of the wettest burgers in the game. Which is an issue. Why is it so wet? It's the lettuce and tomato. I feel like that was, and you know, last night when I got it, but even still kind of sloppy burger with that double double without the lettuce and tomato. It's, you know, the In-N-Out sauce the spread that they put on there is, it can kind of get all over the place. They got to dry down that lettuce and tomato. Put it in the dryer, Wags. Dry that stuff off. Because it's too... What? You can respond to me. Go ahead.
It can be a little moist. In its defense, if you're going to take a burger on a water slide, it's not going to get any wetter.
The hell?
You want to go see Shamu at SeaWorld? You got the perfect burger for the audience.
So
that's
wait.
Weak. That's a weak defense. It's a very weak defense.
Oh boy, that sucked. Irma ran off while you were doing that. Look, it's just a wet burger. And
it's a wet burger.
The fries don't travel well. I don't hate them as much if they're done the way you want. Like I said, I got the animal style fries and they were, I don't love the animal style fries. I think if I ate them there, I would have enjoyed them more at the restaurant. But it's just a lot going on with the animal style fries. And then same thing we were saying, the travel issues. You're getting kind of like these fries when you get back to the house that are kind of just stuck together and they're a big clump. Just doesn't work that well. But all that being said, look, that the pink lemonade that they have, also fantastic. Didn't even touch on it. It's a great lemonade. And putting some 7-Up in there, Wags. I know that we talked about that before. That's an Armin trick. Great stuff. That shake and that burger were so undeniably good that all the faults just wash away. I mean, and like Rob's saying, it has a thing. It's classic. It's California classic.
Yep.
It's a 5 forker, Nick. You know this. It's 5 forks.
Yeah.
What else? What else can I say? It's a 5 forker.
I appreciate that, Mitch, because I know that you, yes, you, your East Coast allegiance would naturally have you be skeptical about a SoCal mm-hmm. institution. I appreciate you being objective. I will say that yeah, it everything's been touched on. You know, Rob, you talked about how McDonald's like tries all these other things and has salads and all these other options, the sprawling menu. In-N-Out is the opposite of that. In-N-Out has the same menu they've had for, you know, for decades.
Yes.
It's just kind of frozen in time. And you know what else is frozen in time that we haven't touched on? The price. This is...
Nick.
People compare this to, like, you know, people compare In-N-Out unfavorably to Shake Shack sometimes. It's fine to prefer Shake Shack to In-N-Out Burger. I'm not going to fight you on that. But at least acknowledge that it's in a different price category. At least acknowledge that you're spending twice as much if you're going to get a meal from Shake Shack as you are from In-N-Out Burger. Because In-N-Out is it's an affordable option. And, you know, there's a reason you see a lot of families queued up there. Because it's an affordable way to get a delicious treat. I can't put aside my nostalgic affinity for In-N-Out Burger. Like, I acknowledge that. But I think even, you know, so my rating is going to be 5 forks. Like, it's going to be 5 forks. But I think this is deserved. This isn't me just saying, like, I like this because I had it when I was a kid because it was a treat for me for behaving. It's just...
For behaving? Look,
yeah. So it was a rare treat.
The hell? What
I got
you
into
doing?
Some mischief.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
No, but I mean, I think this isn't just me being like I love it because I grew up with it and that's why it's good. I think that if you actually view this objectively, as you did, Mitch, I think this is one of those chains that absolutely acknowledges its status in the Platinum Plate Club.
Now, Nick, can I quickly just say a double double, a 3x3. Two
yes.
orders of fries, one animal fry, a large pink lemonade, a regular vanilla shake, plus half chocolate shake. Now, I mean, besides that order possibly killing a man, what do you think that... Because I did eat it all, by the way.
Yeah.
I ate the entire thing. It's disgusting. But what do you think that comes out to for a price?
I feel like you could get that for, I want to say, under 25.
Nick, you're right. It was $23.16, which
wow,
would just
that's amazing.
It's not going to happen at any other fast food restaurant. It's just not.
Yeah, that's a ton of food.
It's a ton of food and good quality food. You're not going to beat that. And Rob, what you were saying about McDonald's pairing, there was talk of that at one point of McDonald's paring down its menu to be kind of just like, here are the classics. And In-N-Out does that. You know what I mean? There's not a ton of food to get there.
Yep.
But what there is great. So
yep.
it's going double. Is this double platinum, Nick? Is In-N-Out going double platinum?
Well, we've reviewed it a couple of times. So I think this is the third canonical In-N-Out Burger episode. We don't really have a double platinum plate club.
Well, we should have one. Why the hell not?
All right, fine. It's in the double platinum plate club.
It's double platinum. The first ever
triple at this point.
You're here for Doughboy's history.
I was gonna say I'm just awed and humbled to be witnessing this. Well, listen, I'm gonna continue this conversation on Rob Lowe. Literally, I'm gonna now pivot more because it's been so good. I need to have you guys come on, and we need to talk more food. Who needs all these famous celebrities? I don't. I'd rather talk about putting hats on, you know, 3x3s with you guys.
I love it.
Wow.
And I'm not kidding. Today was the fast day, and I know I'm going to In-N-Out. And I'm going to tell them.
Wow.
Should I tell them that they've made, or was that information wasted on the guy with the iPad in the parking lot? We should go to somebody at a higher level of In-N-Out and give them this news, don't you think?
I think that you should tell them the Doughboy sent you and see how confused they look when you say that to them. You rule. Thank you. Thank you for being here, Rob.
Thank you,
enjoy
Rob.
Enjoy your In-N-Out. And I hope that you, I don't know what you're going to go with, but I hope you get a Flying Dutchman over there.
Oh, I'm going. That's the whole reason. I'm going with the Flying Dutchman. And knowing me, I will forget the note that I wrote and then forget what I wanted. And I'll be like, I'll have a dirty Sanchez. And they'll be like, oh my God.
And of course, on your way there, look out for What is the ape called again?
The wood ape.
Wood ape.
The wood ape. I was thinking skunk ape because of we've talked about the skunk ape quite a bit.
Well, that's the Florida iteration. The skunk ape of Florida, the wood ape of Arkansas, the Sasquatch of Northern California. Yeah.
Well, look out for the wood ape.
This is great. I'm going to turn myself into an actual wood ape if I hung. I couldn't do this podcast every day. I couldn't do it. I'm not even sure I could listen to it. I would weigh
you're not alone.
5 billion pounds. I mean, I gotta remember I make a living being on camera at some point, right?
Yeah. Oh no. Even you know, I play kind of like oafish fat clowns, and even still, I'm getting to the point where they're like, "All right, tone it down a notch."
No. There's that. We love you as you are. We love you as you are. Don't listen to that Chris Pratt. What does he know?
Literally with Rob Lowe is the podcast. You can find it on Stitcher or wherever you listen to podcasts. Rob Lowe, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, you guys. I'm off to In and Out. You guys are the best.
See ya. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
We'll be back with more Doughboys. Welcome back to Doughboys. Rob Lowe was like, I get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. He messaged me and said that he was really vibing with me, but he didn't like you, Wag. So
wow, he messaged me the same thing.
What the hell?
That he was really vibing with you, but he didn't like me.
Oh, all right, good.
Just to twist the knife. But Mitch, it's time for a segment. And hey,
that's
Emma,
right.
Hey.
You can participate in this as well. I've chosen a pie.
Wow.
And Mitch and Emma must divine a series of clues to guess what it is. The winner gets an IOU for a pie. The loser goes home empty-stomached. This is another edition of Pie in This Guy.
Wow, so does this mean one of the lifelines is gone? Because I'm usually the lifeline.
Yeah, one of the lifelines is Ask Emma. You can still use that lifeline.
Okay, cool. I'll ask myself.
All right, maybe I'll ask Emma.
Pie, which one is in this guy? Baked a pastry that was tasty, but a mystery which guy? And Mitch and Emma giving it their best try. Guessing this will be the type of this pie. This will be the type of this pie. You know, we were talking pie a bunch with Rob Lowe earlier in the episode. Well, here we've got a pie-based game. You'll each take turns solving increasingly obvious clues.
Wow. Your
two lifelines. Ask Emma. As Nick, was mentioned,
Rob also, he messaged me and said that this would be too easy for him. He doesn't want, there was no way that he wouldn't beat me. So
yeah,
me versus Emma, I guess is going to be a challenge now.
He messaged me. I don't know how he got both of our phone numbers, but he messaged me. I have total pie mastery.
Wow. Getting to have pie every week. What a fucking, what a great time that would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the fuck? What was my grandpa doing? Fucking asshole.
So you have two lifelines. You can ask Emma for help. And there's the eye test. I will screen share a close-up photo of the pie in question. Emma, you are taking the place of the guest, so you get to choose if you go first or second.
I mean, I'll go second.
Okay, Emma's going
second.
I
always know the hardest one is first.
Wow, Emma! Wow.
It's competition now, baby.
Perhaps a savvy choice as the clues begin as the most obtuse they can be. First clue. This is for you, Mitch.
Yeah.
Humphrey Bogart, Edward G. Robinson, and Lauren Bacall all spent a memorable stretch in this pie's ancestral home.
Say it again.
Humphrey Bogart, Edward G. Robinson, and Lauren Bacall all spent a memorable stretch in this pie's ancestral home.
Wags, I have the answer.
Wow.
Wow.
Key lime pie.
Mitch, one and done. You have one pie in this guy. Correctly identifying
the movie
that
as,
film
Key Largo.
As Key Largo. Florida Keys, where key limes originate, or key limes don't originate from the Florida Keys, but they are,
Hey, Emma.
They're prominent there.
You fucked up.
Yeah, see, the thing is I don't think I would have got that if it was my clue, so it's fine.
Wow. Mitch, your knowledge of film history, it came in handy.
It did. I destroyed Wags. Maybe this is a turnaround for me. Maybe I'm the pie in the sky guy now.
You know, you used to dominate the Weiger challenge back when we could do IRL recordings, which was a mystery beverage that you would identify by flavor and sight and smell alone. And perhaps that dominance is being transferred to pie in the sky.
Wow.
No longer the spoon man, now he's the pie guy.
Wow.
I don't know if that's... Emma, you did the move, too. I couldn't believe it that you made me go first. You pulled... You know what? You pulled your trickery, and you were punished for it.
Instant karma, baby. What you gonna do?
Wow. Well, that was pie in the sky.
Wags, have you ever seen Key Largo?
No, I've never seen Key Largo. I was like, oh, that's one of those movies I've always meant to see. Where does it rank in your noirs? I know you've seen a lot of... You've been on something of a noir kick.
I've been on a noir kick. It's great. I really like it. There's a scene where the Edward G. Robinson makes the this woman who is, I don't know the actress's name, but he makes her sing like a song. She's like a kind of like a washed up singer.
And yeah, sing a song.
I mean that's Edward Mercy. That is Edward G. Robinson, which I did not know until I was watching some noirs. But
the Chief Wiggum inspiration.
Yeah. And he makes her sing a song, and it's like the saddest, because she like doesn't do a good job, and everyone there knows she doesn't do a good job. It's like one of the saddest moments. It's a great film.
Edward G. Robinson. That song made me sad. Man, sing another one. See?
I mean, you're not far off from what happens.
Wow.
And then Edward G. Robinson, he yells at the storm. Mercy.
Now, get out of here, Hurricane. See?
Wow, added to the list of great Weiger impressions.
Edward G. Robinson in a movie I haven't seen. That was Pie in the Sky. Just like a restaurant, we value your feedback. Let's open up the feedback. Today's email comes from Quinn, named after their mom's hometown of Quincy, Massachusetts, Miss.
Wow.
Wow.
Quinn writes... Taco Bell is my favorite fast food chain, but the one thing I don't like about the Taco Bell process is applying the salsa while in the car alone. Without a salsa, most Taco Bell items fail to reach their full potential for me, but it gets dicey when I have a CGC, cheesy gordita crunch, in one hand, a salsa in the other, and nothing on the wheel. I usually end up waiting till I get to my destination before I eat, but the food just isn't the same when it's not hot and fresh. Do you have strategies to safely add salsa while driving without having to resort to the sad eat in the Taco Bell parking lot move? Are there other chains where you experience a similar challenge? Mitch, I mean, I feel like we've discussed this on the show before, but eating Taco Bell or really any Mexican food is a little bit dicey on the road.
Agreed. I mean, look, this is a tricky situation here.
Yeah.
And I think that the geniuses at Taco Bell should try to figure it out. Instead of taking away menu items, Nick.
It's true.
They should fucking figure out this hot sauce situation.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever actually eaten Taco Bell while driving because it scares me.
Maybe a burrito you'll be okay with, but most of the stuff, it's just like it's just dripping everywhere.
Yeah, like even just like a hard shell taco is like hard to do with just one hand without taking your eyes off the road to make sure it's not dumping in your lap.
Yeah, high degree of difficulty.
I also think that those hot sauce packets, I go mild mostly because my lining of my stomach is destroyed. They are essential to Taco Bell experience. I think you need them. So,
oh, you can't have all those bad boys dry. I mean, like you need to, and it's the same with Del Taco. You need like the sauce packets to plus up your menu items. That's just like an expected part of the consumption.
Yeah,
agreed. Look, here at Doughboys, we want you to eat and drive safely.
Yes.
Safely? What the hell? We want you to eat and drive safely. So you got to pull over to the side of the road and put on those sauce packets. If you're on the highway, don't get on the highway with Taco Bell. Just don't do it.
Yeah.
Or make someone who's not going to eat the Taco Bell go with you so they can drive while you eat.
That's a great call, Emma. Weiger, you're some sort of chauffeur. Oh, God. I couldn't say chauffeur. Chauffeur.
There you
go. Some sort of chauffeur for you. And for me, I don't know, Chankton or something.
I was going to say the thing we didn't discuss with In-N-Out Burger, but I think as an asset of theirs is they will give you the little tray you can use to eat in the car, the little cardboard box.
Yeah, but hold on a second. Let's not pretend that In-N-Out is a good eating while traveling food.
No, I wouldn't really eat that in the car either. But at least if you're even if you're sitting in the parking lot with that tray, at least you can like make the mess in your lap without making a mess of your car, and then you can kind of wrap it all up and get rid of it together instead of like having this mess all over your car.
100%. Yeah, that I think that's the it'd be nice if other chains had something like that, just something of like a spill tray or spill mat. Yes, I agree. In-N-Out Burger would not eat while I was driving.
You should carry that shit around with you all the time.
All right.
You're a spill man.
I do have a tendency to spill a lot. Yes, it's true. But I don't think here's what I would say to Quinn. You characterize it as having as the sad eat in the Taco Bell parking lot move. I don't think eating in the parking lot or eating while parked is all that sad. I think sometimes it's the wise tactical decision. And I think, you know what? Take 5 to 10 minutes and just eat in your parked car so you don't have to deal with this this hassle of having one hand on the wheel.
This is kind of sad.
I mean, I'm sure you're not the only person in the Taco Bell parking lot eating. And, you know, that's fine. And kind of enjoy like a car meal. It's like a little private time, especially in these quarantine times when people are just home all the time. Go get some Taco Bell, sit in your car, and don't talk to anyone. Have some me time.
I like
it. I went to my years ago, I went to my friend's house and got some Jack in the Box on the way, and then I parked in front of their house and I just sat in the car just eating Jack in the Box, and then I went inside and they had like watched me and were just like, "Hey, man, is everything okay?" We're like concerned.
God, terrified coworkers.
Have you ever had like an Uber driver or a Lyft driver go through the drive-thru for you?
No, I would never be that bold.
I've only done it two or three times, and it's always when very drunk, but it's always like, if you are down to go through the Taco Bell drive-thru on our way by, I will buy you dinner.
There you go.
And they're usually pretty down. Maybe in the COVID times, but pre-COVID.
When I was in Atlanta for Tomorrow War, they would send a car service, and I would sometimes get off the plane not having eaten, and I remember one time I swung by Popeyes, and I said, "Do you want anything? I'll get you something from Popeyes," and they did, and I would tip and everything too. But
yeah,
an Uber, I hear you, Wise. An Uber is like, I'm sure that a lot of Uber drivers hate it, but if you offer food or cash, I'm sure that if it's worth their time,
you got to make it worth their time. And I've only ever asked for that when I have like my liquid courage on, you know, like my sober self would be like, I'll just go home and get my car and take myself.
Right. Speaking of In-N-Out, we're reviewing In-N-Out, and so when I went to the Sunset Boulevard location, I didn't mention this in my review, but like there was a guy who was like, you know, asking for it was just like, well, like waiting by the line of cars, asking if anyone had any money. So I gave him some cash, and then he was like, "Hey, man, can you get me a meal?" And I got him. So I took his order. I got him a meal and I handed it to him on the way out. And he was like, "Hey, thanks, big boy. You came through, big boy." And I was like, "Big boy."
Fucking,
I don't know how I feel about this big boy thing.
You got this guy immediately like, called you a
fat ass. Give me the burger
ass.
Back.
No, he was very nice.
This is trash trying to make yourself look like a saint. Guess what? I bought a pizza at 7-Eleven for a guy the other day. How's that sound? A full pizza. Which is maybe worse than offering nothing at all. That pizza's fucking trash, I feel like.
I think we're endangering two people's health by buying terrible food for them. But I...
You're not the only saint, all right? You piece of shit.
I'm just saying it was delivered like how someone would say, like, boss, you know?
You know what's funny is my guy said to me, he said, "Thanks, Tiny." I said, "No problem."
If you have a question or comment about the world of chain restaurants, you can email us at doughboyspodcast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 830-GO-DOUGH. That's 830-463-6844. And to get the Doughboys Double, our weekly bonus episode, join the Golden or Platinum Plate Club at patreon.com/doughboys. And reminder, check out Literally with Rob Lowe wherever you find podcasts.
Hell yeah.
That'll do it for this episode of Doughboys. Until next time, for the Spoon Man, Mike Mitchell, I'm Nick Weiger. Happy eating.
See ya.
On the next Doughboys Double, move over, Taylor Swift. We're about to shake it on. Comedian Joel Boyd joins to discuss those frozen dairy delights we know and love, shakes. To quote Duke Nukem, shake it, baby. Get the Doughboys Double every Tuesday only at patreon.com/doughboys. Sources for this week's intro are available in the episode description.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.